This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Hello, and welcome to Radioactive Theater, presenting quality dramas, comedies, and mysteries from or reminiscent of the golden age of radio. This program contains content for a mature audience and includes infidelity and thoughts of suicide. Love is defined in many ways by poets, musicians, and playwrights. Quotations about love are unlimited, as in, "The course of true love never runs smooth." Our program visits several short plays and scenes showing some of the faces of love. The first is Here We Are by Dorothy Parker, a famed satirist, film writer of the early 20th century. A young, unsophisticated couple are on their way to their honeymoon suite in New York City and are anticipating their wedding night. He is played by Brendan McGee and she is played by Mythili Savanna.
Well, here we are.
Here we are, aren't we?
Yup. How does it feel to be an old married lady?
Why, it's too soon to call me that. Goodness, we've only been married about 3 hours, haven't we?
We've been married exactly 2 hours and 26 minutes.
It seems like later. I guess it's because it starts getting dark so early.
It does. The nights are going to be pretty long from now on. It's getting dark early.
I didn't have any idea what time it was. Everything was so mixed up, getting back from the church, and then all those people throwing things and all. Goodness, I don't see how people do it every day.
Do what?
Get married. When you think of all the people, all over the world, getting married just as if it was nothing. And how does anybody know what's going to happen next?
Let them worry. We don't have to. We know darn well what's going to happen next. We know it's going to be great. We know we're going to be happy, don't we?
Oh, of course. Only an awful lot of people that get married doesn't turn out so well. And I guess they all must have thought it was going to be great.
Well, come on now. There's no way to start a honeymoon with all this thinking. Look at us. All married and everything. Done. The wedding. All done and all.
It was nice, wasn't it? Ellie and Louise looked lovely, didn't they? I'm terribly glad they did finally decide on pink. They looked perfectly lovely.
Listen, I want to tell you something. When I was standing up there in that old church waiting for you to come up, I thought to myself, well, I never knew Louise could look like that. I thought she'd have knocked anybody's eye out.
Oh, really? Funny. Of course, everybody thought her dress and hat were lovely, but a lot of people seemed to think she looked sort of tired.
Well, she was certainly a knockout at the wedding. Boy!
I'm glad someone thought so. How did you think Ellie looked?
Why, I honestly didn't get a look at her.
Oh, really? Well, that's too bad. I don't suppose I have to say it about my own sister, but I never saw anybody look as beautiful as Ellie looked today. But you never pay attention to Ellie anyway. Makes me feel just terrible that you don't like my own sister.
I do so like her. I'm crazy for Ellie. I think she's a great kid.
Don't think that makes any difference to Ellie. I keep thinking, when we come back and get in the apartment and everything, it's going to be awfully hard for me that you don't want all my family around.
Oh, now come on. What's all this talk about not wanting your family around? Why, you know how I feel about your family. I think your old lady, I think your mother's swell. And Ellie? And your father? Honey, what is all this? Why are you getting so angry about? Hey, look, this is our honeymoon. What are you trying to start a fight for? I guess you're just feeling sort of nervous.
Me? What have I got to feel nervous about? Goodness, I'm not nervous.
You know, lots of times they say girls get kind of nervous and yippy on account of thinking about... look, honey, you don't look any too comfortable. Don't you want to take your hat off? And let's don't ever fight. Ever. Will we?
Oh, I'm sorry I was cross. I guess I did feel a little bit funny. All mixed up, and then thinking of all those people, and then being sort of way off here all alone with you. It's so sort of different. It's sort of such a big thing. You can't blame a person for thinking, can you? Yes. Don't let's ever fight, or be nasty, or anything. I guess I will take this darned old hat off. It kind of presses. Just put it up on the rack, will you, dear? Do you like it, sweetheart?
Looks good on you.
No, but I mean, do you really like it?
Well, I'll tell you. I know this is the new style and everything like that, and it's probably great. I don't know anything about things like that. Only, I like the blue hat you had. Gee, I like that hat.
What you don't seem to realize is that this hat costs $22, and that horrible old blue thing you think you're so crazy about, that costs $3.95.
I don't give a darn what they cost. I only said I like the blue hat. I don't know anything about hats. I'll be crazy about this one as soon as I get used to it.
It's too bad you didn't marry somebody that would get the kind of hats you'd like. Hats that cost $3.95. Why didn't you marry Louise? You always think she looks so beautiful. You'd love her taste in hats. Why didn't you marry her?
Now, honey, for heaven's sake.
Why didn't you marry her? All you've done, ever since we got on this train, is talk about her. I suppose that's nice, getting me off here all alone with you, and then raving about Louise right in front of my face. Why didn't you ask her to marry you? I'm sure she would have jumped at the chance.
Listen, baby, while you're talking about things like that, why didn't you marry Joe Brooks? I suppose he could have given you all the $22 hats you would have wanted.
Joe Brooks wouldn't have waited until he got me all off alone and then sneered at my taste in clothes. Joe Brooks has always been fond of me. You've got a lot of right to talk about Joe Brooks, you and your friend Louise.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, what do I care about Louise? I just thought she was a friend of yours, that's all. That's why I ever noticed her.
Well, you certainly took an awful lot of notice of her today. On our wedding day, you said yourself when you were standing there in the church you just kept thinking of her.
Listen, honey, I never should have said that. I was just telling you that because it was so kind of crazy. I thought it would make you laugh.
I know. I've been all sort of mixed up today, too. I know you get all mixed up. Only I did think, when you kept talking about how beautiful Louise looked, you did it with malice and forethought.
I never did anything with malice and forethought. I just told you that about Louise because I thought it would make you laugh.
Well, it didn't.
No, I know it didn't. It certainly did not. Oh, baby, we ought to be laughing too. Hell, honey lamb, this is our honeymoon. What's the matter?
I don't know. We used to squabble when we were going together, and then engaged and everything. But I thought everything would be so different as soon as you were married.
Well, you see, sweetheart, we're not really married yet. I mean, well, things will be different afterwards. Oh, hell. I mean, we haven't been married very long.
No.
Well, we haven't got much longer to wait now. I mean, well, we'll be in New York in about 20 minutes. Then we can have dinner or go to a show or something. Or, I mean, is there anything special you want to do tonight?
Why, whatever you like. I sort of didn't think people went to theaters and things on their... I mean, I've got a couple of letters I simply must write. Don't let me forget.
Oh, you're going to write letters tonight?
Well, you see, I've been perfectly terrible. I never did thank poor old Mrs. Sprague or the McMasters for the gifts they sent. It's just too awful of me. I've got to write them this very night.
And when you're finished writing your letters, maybe I could get you a magazine or a bag of peanuts.
What?
I mean, I wouldn't want you to be bored.
As if I could be bored with you. Silly. Aren't we married? Bored.
I thought when we got in, we could go right up to the Biltmore and maybe have a little dinner in the room. And then do whatever we wanted. I mean, well, let's go right up there from the station.
Oh, yes, let's. I'm so glad we're going to the Biltmore. I always sleep so well there. I go right off to sleep the minute I put my head on the pillow.
Oh, you do?
At least, I mean, way up high, it's so quiet.
Do you really have to write those letters tonight?
Well, I don't suppose they'd get there any quicker than if I wrote them tomorrow.
And we won't ever fight anymore, will we?
Oh, no, not ever. I don't know what made me do like that. Everything spoils on account of fighting and everything. But we won't, will we?
Sure, we won't.
We won't go all to pieces. We won't fight. It'll all be different now we're married. It'll all be lovely. Reach me down my hat, will you, sweetheart? It's time I was putting it on. Thanks. I'm sorry you don't like it.
I do so like it.
You said you didn't. You said you thought it was perfectly terrible.
I never said any such thing. You're crazy.
All right, I may be crazy, but that's what you said. Not that it matters. It's just a little thing. It makes you feel pretty funny to think you've gone and married somebody who says you have perfectly terrible taste in hats, and then goes and says you're crazy besides.
Now, listen here. Nobody said any such thing. Why, I love that hat. I think it's great.
That isn't what you said before.
Honey, stop it, will you? What do you want to start all this for? I love that damn hat. I mean, I love your hat. What more do you want me to say?
Well, I don't want you to say it like that.
I said I think it's great.
Do you honestly? I'm so glad. I'd hate for you to not like my hat. It would be such a bad start.
Well, I'm crazy for it. Now, we've got that settled. Oh, baby lamb, we're not going to have any bad starts. Look at us. We're on our honeymoon. Pretty soon we'll be regular old married people. I mean, in a few minutes, we'll be getting into New York, and then we'll be going to the hotel, and everything will be all right. I mean, well, look at us. Here we are, married. Here we are.
Yes, here we are, aren't we?
Next is a more modern couple dealing with the uncertainty of love and commitment. It is Bride and Gloom by Rich Orloff, featuring Mythili Sabana as woman and Brendan McGee as man.
Lori!
I'm not ready.
Lori!
5 more minutes!
You said that 5 minutes ago.
5 more minutes!
You said that 10 minutes ago.
5 more minutes!
You said that 15 minutes ago.
Well, when you come back next time, you shouldn't be surprised by my answer.
I'm coming in.
You can't! It's bad luck!
So is keeping 134 wedding guests waiting.
Go away!
Lori!
I said go away!
Let me in!
Ouch!
You okay?
I broke a nail. We'll have to call off the wedding.
Are you having some premarital jitters?
God, I hate you.
What's the problem?
I need time to think, that's all.
Our guests are waiting.
So they can wait a little longer.
They've already waited a little longer.
Then they can wait even longer.
Lori, the ice swan has become a duckling. It's time to get married.
I'm not ready.
I told the organist to play Here Comes the Bride in 5 minutes.
Well, I hope you and the organists are very happy together.
Lori, please, what's the problem?
The problem is, I love you.
Trust me, after a few years of marriage, you'll outgrow it.
And what if I don't?
I love you too.
Well, I refuse to marry anyone with such rotten taste in women.
Lori, what's going on?
Andrew, Did you see my family out there?
Yeah, so?
Tell me who's here.
Pretty much everyone.
List them.
Well, there's your mom, and your stepdad, and your dad, and your stepmom, and your sister, and her husband.
Second husband.
Your older brother and his wife.
Third wife.
Your younger brother and his fiancé, who will be his first wife.
What number fiancé is she?
Fourth.
He's the precocious one of the family. He gets divorced before he gets married.
She seems very nice.
More or less nice than the first 3 fiancés. Do you see a pattern here?
That's them, Lori, not you.
How do we know? Maybe I have an anti-marriage gene which doesn't get triggered until I say I do.
I don't think so.
I love you, Andrew. I think you're magnificent and sweet And I don't want to divorce you.
Me neither.
Well, the only way to ensure that is to not get married.
Lori, we won't get divorced.
How can you be so sure?
Because after living with you for the past year and creating a home and planning a wedding, I love you more than ever.
You're just nuts, you know that?
And You really turned me on.
Oh, sure. Now I do. Now it's again, again. In a year, it'll be you again.
I don't think so.
Andrew, grow up. No matter how happy we are now, we're going to get a divorce, and it's going to be ugly and messy, and we're going to fight over that silverware and the toaster.
You can have the toaster.
And what will you take?
I'll take the microwave.
The microwave's worth much more than the toaster.
Fine, you could take the microwave too.
And what do you want?
The home entertainment center.
Just like a man. I paid for half of it, you know.
Okay, I'll take the TV and you can have the VCR.
What good is a VCR without a TV?
Okay, you take the TV, I'll take the VCR.
There's nothing good on TV. That's why we got the VCR.
What do you want?
I want the TV and the VCR. You can have the microwave.
If you get the TV and the VCR, I get the stereo.
I use the stereo much more than you do.
Then give up the TV and the VCR.
Never! You can have the vacuum cleaner and the couch.
I hate our couch.
Good, then I want you to have it.
I want the easy chair.
You've already got the couch.
Then you take the couch.
I hate the couch more than you do.
Then you could sit on the floor.
Then I get the rug.
Then I get the dining set.
I get the bedroom set.
I get the bed.
I get the house.
We rent!
Then as soon as we get married, we're buying a house and I get it.
Then I get the Porsche.
What Porsche?
The Porsche I'm buying with the second mortgage on our house.
How dare you?
Try and stop me.
I hope you die.
I hope you get an incurable disease. They cure it and then you get run over by a truck.
I despise you.
I detest you.
Marrying you would be the biggest mistake of my life.
Don't worry. If this is how you handle our divorce, there's no way I'm marrying you.
God, I love you.
I love you too.
I still think we're about to make the biggest mistake of our lives.
You're probably right.
Isn't it great that we're making it together?
Yeah.
I love you.
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 I want the stereo.
The next two scenes are from Lovers and Other Strangers, a stage play and film produced in 1970 by Renee Taylor and Joseph Bologna. Mike and Susan are played by John Goodale and Catherine Thornton, and Hal and Kathy by Cheryl Cusin and Ed Savage. And once again, we hear knocking on the door.
Susan! Susan! Susan, open the door! Open the door, Susan! Open the door! Who's in there?
Who is it?
Open the door, Susan! Susan!
Who is it?
Who is it? It's me.
Oh, just a second.
Who's in there? Who's in there, Susan? Open up!
All right.
What were you doing? Who's there?
Nobody's here.
Then what were you doing?
I was taking the curlers out of my hair.
Why? Who's coming, huh?
It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Who would be coming at 4 o'clock in the morning?
You tell me who would be coming at 4 o'clock in the morning.
What?
I'll tell you what. A friend of mine caught his girlfriend with some guy in the back seat of a car 2 days before the wedding. You know what he did? He just left quietly and made out as if nothing happened. The wedding went on, only he never showed up.
What are you talking about? I was sleeping.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll come back when you're up.
I'm up. Now, what's the matter?
Nothing. I was just passing by. I thought I'd say hello.
At 4 o'clock in the morning? What's wrong?
Nothing. I just feel like talking, that's all.
All right. I'll make some coffee.
No, that's all right. But I'll see you later.
I thought you said you wanted to talk.
We already talked. What do you expect me to do? Carry on a long conversation at 4 o'clock in the morning? I can't keep these hours. I have to go to work soon. I'm not getting married. I said, I'm not getting married. I told you this would happen. I told you I wasn't ready. Do you remember I said, Susan, if I ask you to marry me, can I take it back if I want to? And you said I could, didn't you? Well, I'm taking it back now. I mean, it's not that I don't love you, because I love you. I really love you, Susan, but it just can't be for keeps. I try, Susan. I really try, but it's getting close. There's only 4 days left, just 4 more days, and I can't go any further. No, sir. No, ma'am. No chance. No, sirree. That's it. I can't do it. That's it. Please don't make me marry you. I know this wedding is costing your parents a lot of money, but I'll pay back every penny of it. Look, I've got about $20 on me. Here, take it as a deposit. And take my watch. And I want you to keep the ring. I know when a fella breaks up with a girl, he's supposed to get the ring back, but you can have the ring. That's fair, isn't it? I mean, another guy wouldn't do that. Would he, Susan? Please stop looking at me like that. You shouldn't take it personally. It's nothing against you. It's the times we live in. India's overpopulated. Well, I'll be sterilized soon. The suicide rate is up. The air is polluted. Is that the kind of world you want to get married in? Is it, Susan? Is it? I know what you're trying to do. And make me look like the bad one. Well, it won't work. It won't work. Because I'm clean. I'm clean. I knew exactly what you were doing. You knew I was a confirmed bachelor. You know I had trouble getting involved. But that didn't stop you. No, not you, baby. You decided to marry me, and that was it. Well, who do you think you are, playing God with another person's life? Well, I have no pity for you. None whatsoever. Because you're getting just what you deserve. So get off my back. I owe you nothing, baby. Get it? I owe you nothing. Give me a break. And take the pressure off me. Call the wedding off. Everything was going along great. We were having fun and smelling flowers. We could go on having fun for years. And then someday, maybe I'll have a lot of drinks and we could just sneak down to City Hall. That way, I won't feel like I'm married. What do you say? Susan? Huh? Susan? What do you say? All right, Susan. I've got to put my cards on the table. I didn't want to tell you this because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. You're just not my dream girl. I'm sorry. I wish you were, but let's face it, Susan. My heart doesn't beat when you come into a room. I don't get goose pimples when I touch you. I'm just not nervous when I'm with you. You're too vulnerable. You're too human. You've got too many problems. And, Susan, there's something about you that really bothers me. Maybe it wouldn't be important to another guy, but I think about it a lot. Susan, you have very thin arms. So I don't think I could be faithful. I mean, I want to be faithful, but I just don't think I can. Ever since we got engaged, I walk down the street and I want to grab every ass I see. That's not normal. If you were my dream girl, I'd never give another woman a second thought. Don't you understand? I need somebody more perfect. Then it wouldn't be so much work for me to love and be faithful. I could just show up. Look, you'll get over me. After a while, you'll find another boy. You just promise me you won't sleep with anyone until you get married. Will you promise me that, Susan? Will you? That's it. It's all over. Goodbye. I'm sorry. That's it.
Did you and your father pick up the tuxedos today?
Yeah.
Did you get the cufflinks for the ushers?
Yeah.
Wait till you see the beautiful salad bowl we got from Tom and Betty. It's from Tiffany's.
No kidding. By the way, my mother called and said we forgot to seat my Uncle John from Boston.
I think we can put him at table number 3.
Did your wedding gown come?
Yes. Wait till you see it.
I'll bet it's pretty.
Yes. Yes.
Are you in there, Kathy?
Go away.
Kathy, let me in. I want to talk to you.
No, Hal, there's nothing to say. Nothing. It's all nothing.
Nothing? How can you say that after 5 years?
5 years of nothing. I don't want it anymore.
Kathy, don't you love me?
That has nothing to do with it. I just can't take your anniversary parties anymore.
Kathy, I promise you, as soon as Peter goes to prep school, I'll ask Bernice for the divorce.
You promised that last year and the year before.
This time it's different.
As soon as Helen goes to day camp.
Please, Kathy.
As soon as Paul makes Eagle Scout.
Kathy, it's dangerous out there. Bernice might walk by.
I don't care anymore. I never want to see you again.
Kathy, if you let 5 years of love end with a bathroom door between us, I'll lose all respect for myself.
Goodbye, Hal.
Goodbye, Kathy.
I love you so much. You're my whole life. You're the sun and the moon and the stars. I couldn't live without you.
I couldn't live without you. You're the sun and the moon. I love you, Kathy. You're the stars. You didn't mean what you said, that we have nothing.
You know I didn't mean it.
Kathy, come sit here on my lap. These few precious moments we have together are everything, even if they are in a bathroom.
Oh, they are precious, Hal. Oh, my knee.
Oh, I'm sorry. Get up a second. You're hurting my rib.
Hal, why must it be so sordid like this?
Sordid? How can you call this sordid? You just can't help who you love and who you don't love. Now, I love you, and I want you to be happy. And I don't love Bernice, but I want her to be happy. And I do love the kids, and I want them to be happy. But I don't want my wanting Bernice to be happy to take away my love for you. But my wanting the kids to be happy, while not taking away my love for you, will make Bernice happy, and therefore make the children happy. I want everybody to be happy. You know, I think that's my biggest fault.
I want everybody to be happy too, Hal.
Bernice is really a wonderful girl. That's why it's hell for me. But she's boring.
I know.
All she's interested in is making a home for me and the kids. The PTA in Bloomingdale's. The A&P in the Girl Scouts. The Bridge Club.
I want that too, Hal.
But you're a vital person. That's why I'm afraid to tell Bernice I'm leaving her. She might kill herself.
That's why I came in here. I was looking for a razor blade.
For God's sake, don't talk that way.
I'm sorry, Hal, but there's nothing. I have nothing, Hal.
You have me.
I don't have you. Bernice has you. I have nothing.
Bernice has me, but you have my love.
I want you and your love.
I love you, Kat.
I know, Hal, but why don't you tell Bernice?
Because I don't want to hurt her.
You want to hurt me, Hal?
Of course not.
Well, somebody has to get hurt, Hal. In a situation like this, somebody has to get hurt.
Do you want Bernice to get hurt?
No, I don't want Bernice to get hurt.
Do you want my kids to get
hurt? No, Hal.
Then who should get hurt? Me?
I feel nauseous, Hal.
Kathy, please don't get sick on me.
Oh, Hal, I can't go on like this. I can't take it anymore. You've got to tell Bernice right now, or I don't know what I'll do.
Kathy, sit down. I want to tell you something. You mean a lot to me, but let me tell you something about myself, Kathy. Sure, I could go to Bernice and tell her all about us, and maybe she would forgive you, even though she certainly would never speak to me again. And that's not important. What's important is, you have every right to want something more than what I've been giving you, just as she has every right. But here it is in a nutshell. I'm the kind of man who, when confronted with the fact that I've been married to the same woman for 32 years, who has given me two wonderful children, it becomes progressively more difficult for me to know that I have brought her any more unhappiness than I have brought her already. What I'm trying to tell you is
that you'll never leave Bernice, and we'll never see each other or have each other or hold each other ever again.
Not necessarily.
What do you mean, Hal? Are you going to tell Bernice or not?
Kathy, it's not as simple as that. You see, Kathy, you, Bernice, and I are three of us in a boat. Now, it's my boat, and it's your lake, but Bernice has the oars.
Phil has asked me to marry him, Hal.
Phil? Who's Phil?
He's this fellow I've been seeing.
How can Phil ask you to marry him? Have you been fooling around with Phil?
No, Hal. I could never fool around with Phil. Not when I'm in love with you.
Well, you must have done something for him to ask you to marry him. Did you kiss him?
Yes, I kissed him.
Did he touch your breast?
Hal, I don't...
Did he touch your breast?
Well, yes, Hal, but...
Why, Kathy, why?
Hal, didn't you tell me to go out with other men?
Yes, but...
Well, Phil wouldn't go out with me anymore if I didn't at least let him do something.
Life stinks. Nobody ever can be happy. You're not happy. I'm not happy. Bernice is not happy.
I think I can make Phil happy.
Screw Phil.
You don't mean that.
No, I don't mean that. It's just that every time I think I have everything worked out, something complicates things. Now there's Phil's happiness to worry about. All right. What did you tell him?
I told him I'd have to think about it.
What do you mean, think about it? There's nothing to think about. You can't marry Phil.
Why not?
Because I've got too much pride to go sneaking around corners with a married woman.
Well, what have I been doing?
That's different. I was married before I met you.
I can't go on like this. There's no end. All right, Hal, this is it. If you don't tell Bernice about us, I'm going to marry Phil.
I see. Now you're going to force me to make the decision for you. Kathy, you have to make your own decision, just like Bernice has to make her own decision, and Phil has to make his own decision.
What about you, Hal? Don't you have to make a decision?
I've made my decision.
What have you decided?
I have decided to find a new way to help Bernice to find the strength to leave me, yet giving you the option to end it all by marrying Phil. But if Bernice is not aware enough to make the move that's right for her, and if you can't see a way to call on your resources to resist me, then the responsibility rests not with me, not with you, Kathy, not with Bernice, but with Phil.
Communication is a basic requirement in a relationship and often a point of contention. Before text messages, there were post-its, a way to leave a quick note stuck to the bulletin board or refrigerator door. Post-its Notes on a Marriage by Paul Dooley and Winnie Holzman, Wife, played by Angela Chang Simony, and Husband by Gary Galanik.
Had an early meeting. Couldn't bear to wake you. Close front door hard or won't lock. P.S. Last night was incredible.
Helped myself to breakfast. You need milk. P.S. Next time, wake me.
Hey, sleepyhead. Tried to wake you. Not easy. Left you some coffee. Hope you like it black.
Thought I should spend at least one night this week at my place. Picked up some milk. You don't have to pay me back.
Off to work. Extra set of keys on hall table.
Darling, went jogging with Lila. If you go out, we need milk. Wow, I can't believe we're a wee.
Hon, if you have time, could you pick up my shirts? Ticket on hall table. Thanks. P.S. Milk.
Shirts are in your closet. Your mother called. She seemed surprised to hear my voice. You obviously never mentioned me. Your shirts came to $14.50.
Gone to florist. Back soon. Hope you like the chocolates.
Darling, don't go in the den.
Sweetheart, I understand how much it means to you, but at this stage of our relationship, I'm just not ready to have a dog.
We need milk bones. Your mother called. Call her. Did you call your mother? Went to lunch with your mother. Back soon.
Your new best friend, my mother called. Call her.
We need milk. Also, your mom mentioned how much you hate Eugene. I don't think Eugene's so bad. You should hear my middle name. Thank God my mother's dead.
Please do not mention the name Eugene to me ever again, thank you.
Shopping list, pistachio ice cream. Sardines. Those tiny little cheeses that come in that cute little net bag. They're so adorable. They make me cry.
Darling, I understand how much it means to you, but at this stage of our relationship, I am just not ready to...
We need Pampers and baby wipes, and we need to get married.
Meet me, City Hall, 6 sharp. You bring old and borrowed, I'll do new and blue. Mom will stay with Eugenia.
Note to self, find breast pump.
Take cold shower.
Lose 40 pounds.
Redirect sex drive into career. Home late. Don't wait up.
Hey, stranger, if you're not too busy, could you call Eugenia tonight around bedtime? Just to see if she recognizes your voice.
Hon, sorry about your birthday. P.S. I got the raise.
To the new vice president in charge of marketing. We need milk. Please advise.
Hon, I think we're out of milk. Still no milk.
If you want it so bad, get it yourself. The milk train doesn't stop here anymore.
If you can't even manage to get to the store, get some household help.
Have gone to bed. Dinner is in fridge. If there is something in particular you wish for dinner tomorrow night, please leave note to that effect, and I will have Ursula, or Carla, or Jose, if it's heavy, pick it up. I can't take this anymore. We barely communicate. There's got to be more to this marriage than a few hastily scribbled words on a small square of pastel paper. By the way, we're out of Post-its.
You think I want to spend every night at the office? You have absolutely no concept of how a business is run.
To whom it may concern, regarding your Post-it of June the 10th, allow me to clarify my position. Up yours. Eugenia and I will be at your mother's. P.S. You need milk.
Call her at my mother's. Must call her. Reminder, take out garbage, call her. People to call, her. Shopping list. Small loaf of bread. Half pint milk. Soup for one. Scotch for one. Inflatable doll. Scotch for two. Things to tell her. That I'm sorry. That I miss her. That all I want, all I ever wanted, is for her to be happy.
We need milk.
Dearest, have gone down to the end of the driveway to get the paper. Back soon.
Honey, that therapist called back. He can see you Monday.
Sweetie, your therapist says your Tuesday is now Friday.
What a session! Dr. K believes that part of me is locked in unconscious competition with you, and envious of your masculine role. By the way, we need cucumbers, sausages, and a really big zucchini.
At last, a breakthrough today with Dr. G. It all became crystal clear. My mother, my father, his mother, you, your mother. I see our entire marriage in a new light. I must free myself from the past so we can truly have a future. This changes everything.
Hon, a Diet Coke exploded all over that note you left. Hope it wasn't important. Took Eugenia to brownies. Back soon.
Took Eugenia to kickboxing. Back soon.
Took Eugenia to therapy. Could be a while.
Someone named Olaf called. Needs your resume? What resume?
I landed the job. I start Monday. Last minute meeting, I'll try to call. I'll be working late. Don't wait up. I'm glad you waited. Last night was incredible.
Drove Eugenia to DMV. Hope she doesn't drive me home.
Eugenia called. Loves college. Mentioned someone named Tyrone. Doesn't miss us at all.
Pick up travel brochures.
Eugenia called. When can we meet Tyrone?
Schedule trip to campus when we get back.
Sweetheart, travel agent called. Cruise is confirmed. The honeymoon we never had. A time for us to leave all this behind and enjoy 10 glorious days of total togetherness.
God, it's good to be home. Dinner Wednesday with Eugenia and what's his name?
Tyrone called. It's a boy. Kareem Eugene.
Eugenia called. Loves being a mom.
Off to throw pots. Back soon. Don't forget, we're bird watching Thursday. What night is good for square dancing?
Any night you want. We're free. Nothing to tie us down. Eugenia called. Could we take Kareem for the weekend?
Tyrone called. Could we take Kareem for spring break?
Kareem called. Could he spend the summer with us again? Took Kareem to DMV.
Honey, last night was incredible. I couldn't believe how long it went on. You've got to do something about your snoring.
Shopping list. Bengay, denture cream, and, well, Viagra.
Wrinkles away. I can't believe it's a port hose. Estrogen in a drum.
We need milk of magnesia.
Call Medicare.
You left your keys in the door again.
Do you have my keys?
I can't find my glasses.
Have you seen my cane?
How can I see your cane if I can't find my glasses?
Gone for walk.
Where are you? Next time you go out, leave me a note.
Sweetheart, dinner in oven. Taking nap. Love ya.
Call Emily. Also Cousin Ruthie. Send note to Father McKay and everyone who sent flowers. Service was lovely. Everybody said so. I was looking through your things for that locket you said Eugenia should have. I could hardly believe what I found. You saved every post-it I ever wrote you. I wish I'd saved yours. I could be reading them now. Well, back soon. Going to the store. We need milk.
Now we move on to another kind of love, the family. Parents for their kids in particular. This play is Tender Offer by Wendy Wasserstein. Lisa is played by Ava Sardinha and Paul by John McManaman.
Oh!
You don't have to stop, sweetheart.
That's okay.
Look very good.
Thanks.
Don't I get a kiss hello?
Sure.
Hi, Tiger.
Hi, Dad.
I'm sorry I'm late.
That's okay.
Well, how'd it go?
Good.
Just good?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. You mean you got a lot of applause, or pretty good you could have done better?
Well, Courtney Palumbo's mother thought I was pretty good, but you know the part in the middle when everybody's supposed to freeze and the big girl comes out? Well, I think I moved a little bit.
I thought what you were doing looked pretty good.
Daddy, that's not what I was doing. That was tap dancing. I made that up.
Oh, well, look good. Kind of sexy.
Yuck!
What do you mean, yuck?
Just yuck.
You don't want to be sexy?
I don't care.
Let's go, Tiger. I promised your mother I'd get you home in time for dinner.
I can't find my leg warmers.
You can't find your what?
Leg warmers. I can't go home till I find my leg warmers.
I don't see you looking for them.
I was waiting for you.
Oh.
Daddy?
What?
Nothing.
Where do you think you left them?
Somewhere around here. I can't remember.
Well, try to remember, Lisa. We don't have all night.
I told you. I think somewhere around here.
I don't see them. Let's go home now. You'll call the dancing school tomorrow.
Daddy, I can't go home till I find them. Miss Judy says it's not professional to leave things.
Who's Miss Judy?
She's my ballet teacher. She once danced the lead in Swan Lake, and she was a June Taylor dancer.
Well, then I'm sure she'll understand about the leg warmers.
Daddy, Miss Judy wanted to know why you were late today.
Hmm?
Why were you late?
I was in a meeting. Business. I'm sorry.
Why did you tell Mommy you'd come instead of her if you knew you had business?
Honey, something just came up. I thought I'd be able to be here. I was looking forward to it.
I wish you wouldn't make appointments to see me. You shouldn't make appointments to see me unless you know you're going to come.
Of course I'm going to come.
No, you're not. Talia Robbins told me she's much happier living without her father in the house. Her father used to come home late and go to sleep early.
Lisa, stop it. Let's go.
I can't find my leg warmers.
Forget your leg warmers.
Daddy?
What is it?
I saw this show on television. I think it was WPIX Channel 11. Well, the father was crying about his daughter.
Why was he crying? Was she sick?
No, she was at school, and he was at business, and he just missed her, so he started to cry.
What was the name of this show?
I don't know. I came in the middle.
Well, Lisa, I certainly would cry if you were sick or far away, but I know you're well in your home, so no reason to get maudlin.
What's maudlin?
Sentimental, soppy, frequently used by children who make things up to get attention.
I am sick. I am sick. I have Hodgkin's disease and a bad itch on my leg.
What do you mean you have Hodgkin's disease? Don't say things like that.
Susie Kurtz. She had Hodgkin's disease on a TV movie last year, but she got better and now she's on Love, Sydney.
Who is Susie Kurtz?
She's an actress named after an airplane. I saw her online at 5.
You watch too much television. You should do your homework. Now, put your coat on.
Daddy, I really do have a bad itch on my leg. Would you scratch it?
Lisa, you're procrastinating.
Why do you use words I don't understand? I hate it. You're like Daria Feldman's mother. She always talks in Yiddish to her husband so Daria won't understand.
Procrastinating is not Yiddish.
Well, I don't know what it is.
Procrastinating means you don't want to go about your business.
I don't go to business. I go to school.
What I mean is you want to hang around here until you and I are late for dinner and your mother's angry and it's too late for you to do your homework.
I do not.
Well, it sure looks that way. Now put your coat on and let's go.
Daddy.
Honey, I'm tired. Really. Later.
Why don't you want to talk to me?
I do want to talk to you. I promise. When we get home, we'll have a nice talk.
No, we won't. You'll read the paper and fall asleep in front of the news.
Honey, we'll talk on the weekend. I promise. Aren't I taking you to the theater this weekend? Let me look. Let's see here. Yes, Sunday. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Raincoat with Lisa. Okay, Tiger?
Sure. It's Dreamcoat.
What?
Nothing. I think I see my leg warmers.
What's that?
It's stupid. I was second best at the dance recital, so they gave me this thing. It's stupid.
Lisa.
What?
What did you want to talk about?
Nothing.
Was it about my missing your recital? I'm really sorry, Tiger. I would have liked to have been here.
That's okay.
Honest.
Daddy, you're procrastinating.
I'm procrastinating. Sit down. Let's talk. So, how's school?
Fine.
You like it?
Yep.
You looking forward to camp this summer?
Yep.
Oh, is Daria Feldman going back?
Nope.
Why not?
I don't know. We can go home now. Honest, my foot doesn't itch anymore.
Lisa, you know what you do in business when it seems like there's nothing left to say? That's when you really start talking. Now, put a bid on the table.
What's a bid?
You tell me what you want, and I'll tell you what I've got to offer. Like Monopoly, you want Boardwalk. But I'm only willing to give you the railroads. Now, because you are my daughter, I'll throw in waterworks and electricity. Understand, Tiger?
No, I don't like board games. You know, Daddy, we could get Space Invaders for our home for $35. In fact, we could get an Osborne system for $2,000.
Daria Feldman's parents refused to talk to Daria. So they bought a computer to keep Daria busy so they won't have to speak in Yiddish. Daria will probably grow up to be a homicidal maniac lesbian prostitute.
I know what that word prostitute means.
Good. You still haven't told me about school. Do you still like your teacher?
She's okay.
Lisa, if we're talking, try to answer me.
I am answering you. Can we go home now, please?
Damn it, Lisa. If you want to talk to me, talk to me.
I can't wait till I'm old enough so I can make my own money and never have to see you again. Maybe I'll become a prostitute.
Young lady, that's enough.
I hate you, Daddy! I hate you!
What'd you do that for?
It's stupid.
Well, maybe I wanted it.
What for?
Maybe I wanted to put it where I keep your dinosaur and the picture you made of Miss Kimball with the chicken pox.
You got mad at me when I made that picture. You told me I had to respect Mrs. Kimball because she was my teacher.
Well, that's true. But she wasn't my teacher. I liked her better with the chicken pox. Lisa, I'm sorry. I was very wrong to miss your recital. And you don't have to become a prostitute. That's not the type of profession Miss Judy has in mind for you.
No.
No. So, Talia Robbins is really happy her father moved out?
Talia Robbins picks open the 8th grade lockers during gym period, but she did that before her father moved out.
You can't always judge someone by what they do or what they don't do. Sometimes you come home from dancing school and run upstairs and shut the door, and when I finally get to talk to you, everything is okay or fine, yep or nope.
Yep.
Sometimes, a lot of times, I come home and fall asleep in front of the television. So you and I spend a lot of time being a little scared of each other, maybe?
Maybe.
Tell you what, I'll make you a tender offer.
What?
I'll make you a tender offer. That's when one company publishes in the newspaper that they want to buy another company, and the company that publishes is called the Black Knight, because they want to gobble up the poor little company. So, the poor little company needs to be rescued. And then a white knight comes along and makes a bigger and better offer, so the shareholders won't have to tender shares to the big black knight. You with me?
Sort of.
I'll make you a tender offer like the white knight. But I don't want to own you. I just want to make a much better offer. Okay?
Okay. Sort of, Daddy. What do you think about? I mean, like, when you're quiet, what do you think about?
Oh, business usually. If I think I made a mistake, or if I think I'm doing okay. Sometimes I think about what I'll be doing 5 years from now, and if it's what I hoped it would be 5 years ago. Sometimes I think about what your life will be like, if Mount St. Helens will erupt again. What you'll become if you'll study penmanship or word processing. If you speak kindly of me to your psychiatrist when you are in graduate school, and how the hell I'll pay for your graduate school. And sometimes I try to think what it was I thought about when I was your age.
Do you ever look out your window at the clouds and try to see which kinds of shapes they are? Like, one time, honest, I saw the head of Walter Cronkite in a flower vase. Really? Like, look. Don't those kind of look like if you turn it upside down, two big elbows or two elephant trunks dancing?
Actually, still looks like Walter Cronkite in a flower vase to me. But look up a little. See the one that's still moving? Sort of looks like a whale on a thimble.
Where?
Look up. To your right.
I don't see it.
No,
where?
The other way.
Oh, yeah. There's the head and there's the stomach. Yeah. Hey, Daddy.
Hey, Lisa.
You can have this thing if you want it, but you have to put it like this, because if you put it like that, it is gross.
You know what I'd like? So I can tell people who come into my office why I have this gross, stupid thing on my shelf. I'd like it if you could show me your dance recital.
Now?
We got time. Mother said she won't be home till late.
Well, Daddy, during a lot of it, I freeze and the big girl in front dances.
Well, how about the number you were doing when I walked in?
Well, see, I have parts for a lot of people in that one, too.
I'll dance the other parts.
You can't dance.
Young lady, I played Yvette Mimi Mew in a Hasty Pudding show.
Who's Yvette Mimi Mew?
Watch more television. You'll find out. Now, so, I'm ready. Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina.
Now I go in the morning. And now you go dum-da.
Da, da, dum, da.
Daddy!
Lisa, Nothing could be finer than to be...
That looks dumb.
Oh, yeah. You think they do this better in The Amazing Mink Coat? No way. Now you go. Da 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 dum da da
da da da dum
da dum. If I had Aladdin's lamp for only a day, I'd make a wish and...
Daddy, that's maudlin.
I know it's maudlin. And here's what I'd say. I'd say that nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina in the morning.
Finally, there is a love we call friendship. Sometimes it is found in strange places and unusual circumstances and is life-altering. This is the case in Don't Hang Up, with Gloria Payne as Agent 14C and Abby Thornton as the caller.
Thank you for calling Drainwright. This is Customer Service Agent 14C. Can I get your name?
Is this a real person?
This is Agent 14C, and I'm ready to unclog your questions. Can I please have your name?
I shouldn't give you my name, to protect you.
Okay. How can I help you?
I'm in the process of using your product for a life and death situation. Actually, it's more a death situation.
Thank you for calling.
Wait! Don't hang up.
I'm only allowed to discuss questions relating to Drainwright. Now, in its award-winning 47th year, leading the nation's war against the toughest of stopped drains.
I'm wondering how much Drainwright I need to kill myself.
Honey, you need to call somebody else.
Wait. Please, don't hang up.
You need to call somebody else.
I've talked to a million Elses. Besides, all the other Elses won't know how much of the stuff I need to drink.
You need to call a hotline.
The minimum amount.
I'll get a number for you.
Where are you?
I'm in Louisville, Kentucky, the home of Muhammad Ali and Abbey Road on the River, the largest annual Beatles festival in the world.
You sound like you're reading that.
A prescripted line should people ask certain questions. Awful smell, discoloration, bunch of things.
This stuff does reek wicked.
I've never got a call for your situation.
And this is, like, really recorded for quality control purposes?
I'm the only one answering calls, and ain't no one foolish enough to come down and try and quality control me. Now, I really need to get back to helping other callers.
If you hang up, then I'm going to drink this whole bottle, and it's going to be your fault.
You wanted to kill yourself, you'd already done so. You want to play games? That's fine. But I'm not playing games. I'm playing life. You want to play games? You call the next person.
I'm really scared.
Fine. You want me to talk? You stop crying. I can't hear your voice when you cry.
They're shipping me away tomorrow. My parents. To some lock-up psycho joint in Minnesota.
Listen, what's your name?
What's your name?
Not supposed to give out my name. Rules. My call center name is 14C. But you go ahead and call me Big T. It's my stage name.
What do you mean, stage name?
I sing in a band.
Like a ska, reggae, metal, rage band?
A blues band.
Wow. I didn't know people still did blues.
At my mama's funeral, this man came to sing, and he sang the blues something wonderful. I was sitting there while they laid my mama to rest thinking, I want to be forever singing the blues. And I went down to the club, first chance I got, and went up to the band leader, who's this young and handsome boy. I've been singing ever since at that same club.
With that band leader?
He's my husband now.
Wow. You sing blues with your husband every weekend.
Hardly. They don't let me out of here on weekends. Weekends is most when people call. Stuck here, by myself, headset in chair, can't miss any call. I can't even get up to go to the bathroom. Where are you calling from?
Bathroom?
At your house?
Kind of house. Maybe you could call me Little Y. I have two X chromosomes, and I wish I had a Y, then I would be a guy and wouldn't have this problem.
I don't know about that what's-a-song.
It's what we learned in science last week. Mr. Hanstoder, he's my science teacher, he was talking about the natural development of humans and how the sex-determined chromosomes impact our traits. Females are double X, but males have an X and Y. I like to think there's a little Y in me somewhere. I'm an auditory learner.
All that science sounds confusing. You mess with too much science, and you can get hurt. That's what my mama always used to tell me.
I bet your mom was nice to you. I bet she listened to you.
Mama cared about her family. The Lord's Holy Testament, and Kentucky basketball. Only time I saw Mama mix God with anything else is whenever somebody was shooting free throws.
I go to my high school basketball games on Friday nights.
That must be fun.
Yeah, fun. All the girls dressed up to impress boys. Courtside babes. Kind of a rite of passage, but it's totally an illusion. Ludwig Born wrote that losing an illusion makes you wiser than finding a truth. That's high school basketball games. Have you ever wanted to kill yourself?
How old are you? 15?
15, yeah.
My brother and I were playing inside, making an awful ruckus, and Mama told us to shoo outside. And when we came back, she had hanged herself.
That's terrible.
Yeah, she made us something to eat before she did it. Fresh cookies in the oven. That's how my Mama was. She was always making food, serving up a glorious feast. She never ate a thing, though, always worried there wouldn't be enough for us.
Why do you think she did it?
I don't know. I sure wish I knew, but I do know that there's a bigger mess you leave behind when you take your life. My Mama's funeral was a big mess, and dealing with it afterwards was a big mess. Your Daddy and Mama work hard. They want you to have a good life, and they're doing whatever they're doing, sending you away to help you.
My parents are having me institutionalized at some psycho joint because I don't eat. I panic about calories going to my waist. I have to stand near air ducts so I can get cold and burn more calories. I get up in the middle of the night to run stairs. All the experts say I have to go to a place for head cases like me, but I'm not bullied or teased. I'm not depressed. I just live with mirrors. All the mirrors. There I am, fat and ugly. In real jail, they gave you baggy clothes and no mirrors. Real jail would be great, because otherwise I'm trapped in mirrors.
You know, I'm stuck in a way too, listening to people all day long.
Probably annoying hearing about everybody's problems.
That's life, honey. Not even enough time to go to the bathroom.
It's like you deal with all these people trying to make you feel ugly.
My company makes this nice product, but the only people who call are those with problems. I'm in the problem business. Maybe I learned something from my Mama all those years ago, how to deal with people who can't see their own beauty. I like listening to the sound of people talking. I close my eyes and hear their soul. The sound of a soul can be strong, it can be crushing, it can be fearful, it can be beautiful. But above all, the human voice is a glorious sound. You kids don't talk anymore. All you do is type away texting words. That word looks just the same as anybody else who types it. You put on a fancy dress, you go to that basketball game, it's the same dress that some million else's wear. There's not much in the world that's uniquely yours except your voice. Little Y, those mirrors can't stop the way you talk. You sound beautiful to me.
Thank you.
I said no crying.
I'm sorry.
You don't need to be sorry for anything. This isn't your fault. Things of this nature aren't anybody's fault.
Maybe like your Mama.
Maybe like my Mama. Maybe this is where I'm supposed to be for whatever reason. Maybe all where we're supposed to be for whatever reason.
Maybe I'm supposed to be sent away.
Maybe one day I'll be sitting here and the phone will ring, and I'll be able to close my eyes and hear her voice.
Can I make a confession?
Go ahead, honey.
I'm not really in my bathroom. I stole my Mom's car and drove away until I ran out of gas and locked myself in a Waffle House bathroom. I don't want to die in a Waffle House bathroom.
Then surely don't order from the grill.
I locked myself in and found this bottle of Drainrite and this plunger.
Good thing you didn't call the plunger helpline. Is there a mirror over the sink?
Big T. Do you think I can call you again from Minnesota?
I'm not supposed to.
You're the only person that's made sense.
They give you phones at this place?
I'll figure a way.
All right. Well, call your Mama and tell her where you are.
I don't know.
You listen to me. You call your Mama and tell her where you are. Then you go out to the counter and order some hot soup and sit there and eat it until she shows up. Take the Drainrite bottle with you, and you call that number when you get to where you're going. But first thing, before any of that, tell me if there's a mirror above the bathroom sink.
There is.
Look at it. Go on. Put yourself in front of it and look at it.
I'm looking.
Thank you for calling the Drainrite Product Support Hotline. Have I answered all your questions to your satisfaction?
Yes.
Then you be safe.
I'll call you, Big T, and thank you.
Drainrite Support, this is Agent 14C, and I'm ready to unclog your questions. Sir? Can you hold 1 second? Whew. That was something. Thank you for holding. You were saying something about discoloration?
We hope you've enjoyed Radioactive Theater's series of short plays illustrating the faces of love, produced and directed by Catherine Thornton and Julie Standrovich. Sound and music by John McManaman. Audio Journal is a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Archived editions of this and other Radioactive programs are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. Tune in again next time for Radioactive Theater, a production of Audio Journal.